I did a play earlier this year called Monkeys, written and directed by Bernard Bajun, co-starring Eugene Cordero and Jason Rogel and a bunch of other really, really great people. And it was so much fun. We really loved it. And if you missed it, too bad, we'll never do it again.
Oh, no.
I don't know if we'll do it again, but I think the current iteration of it is done. But it was so much fun. So many people came out, and it was a really, really great show. It's a great script. I hope that something happens to it someday. We just don't know what the next step is. So.
Oh, wow. So did like the Geico frog show up like in the audience? I went like Eugene's friend.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Everyone Eugene's ever worked with was in the audience. Tom Hiddleston was there. Yeah.
The Grogu, like the Star Wars. Uh-huh. Yeah, that guy.
Got it. Yeah.
Both Mike and I were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I was really
I called him a frog. that was
a hard like A to C. And I was like, I know there's a B in there somewhere. We can find it.
I watched both our eyes narrow at Andrew and look at the corner of our screen.
Yeah, it was a very like, let's hear him out.
Well, speaking of A to C B sides, we're talking about Carly Rae Jepsen's The Loveliest Time, the B-side to The Loneliest Time, here on the podcast. Click.
Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remembered that it's sitting in the closet. So I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Why don't you come over and talk about it?
Hey everybody, welcome to I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, the podcast where we go through albums we've been meaning to listen to, use as a conduit, learn about each other and our guests. I'm Andrew Ambrose Lee.
And I'm Michael Limitato.
We got this great guest here. He's making his B-side appearance on this year of our podcast. I think like when I first, obviously I've seen him on TV shows and stuff, but I've also on Twitter, now X, sometimes I would see you tweet about Carly Rae Jepsen, and you tweeting about Carly Rae Jepsen made me realize, oh, he'd be good for the Japanese breakfast episode. And then we eventually were, I was like, hey, we should get him for a Carly episode one day. And here we are. We're doing it. I manifested this to reality. You might know him from Orange is the New Black, Mr. Mayor. It's Mike Cabalot, everybody.
Yay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on to talk about Carly Rae Jepsen.
Also, the strike's over, so we could say the names of things. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know him from various things you might have seen that we can't talk about.
You might know him from Samsung screens, iPhone screens, you know, one of those.
Your eyeballs have gazed upon him.
Network television. streaming show. Okay. But like, hey, Mike, thank you so much for making it. Let's just talk about it. What's your relationship to Carly Rae Jepsen?
I love Carly Rae Jepsen. I think that she is one of the most underrated pop stars of our generation. I think that she was hurt by poor marketing. I think she was hurt by her team. And I don't want to say I can relate to this, but I do feel like as an actor, these are like things you have to be aware of because, you know, you are sort of relying on like your agents and your manager and your publicists and other people on your quote unquote team to like make sure that the right message is getting out about you. And sometimes you can achieve success, but it's sort of like a monkey's paw kind of success where you're like, well, I'm known as the person. I think that like a lot of commercial actors get this because you can kind of just get stuck in like, you know, I think that the actress who plays Flo from Progressive is really talented. She's been in a few other things where you're like, she's amazing, but most people only ever want to see her as Flo. It's not that she's not capable of playing other things, but people are like, that's Flo. And when they see her in other things, they're like, oh, it's weird. Why is Flo here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that Carly Rae Jepsen is like the epitome of that in the music world because people know her for like, Call Me Maybe, and I really, 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 really like you, and things like that, where it's just like, those are good songs, but they, to me, are not representative of her talent. They're not demonstrative of her oeuvre, you know? And so I think that she gets a bad rap because a lot of people only have the conception of like those singles in her head, and they're like, oh, that's just Carly Rae Jepsen. But if they listen to her other albums, they'd be like, she is an amazing artist, and she does okay. I'm not like saying like, poor Carly Rae Jepsen. You know, she plays like the Forum here in LA.
We have a GoFundMe. We're gonna plug it at the end of the show.
Yeah. I misspoke. She played the Greek when she played here, which is like a pretty, you know, respectable theater, but it's not like she is on the level of like Taylor Swift, Beyonce, you know, and she's not selling out arenas. And I think that she could because she's amazing.
She does well where gays live, not where gays are willing to travel to, if that makes sense.
That is such a good way to put it. Yeah.
Well, okay. So like if you like, I want to hear a little bit from you, Mike. If you don't think that, obviously, we all love Call Me Maybe. We all love, I really, mm-hmm. really love you, like you. And, but you said it's not quite demonstrative of her talent, of her oeuvre. What do you feel like is the oeuvre you want people to understand a little better?
I think that people should start with Emotion, which was her third studio album. You would think I would know her discography backer. I should also say it's not like I am the foremost authority on pop, so also don't listen to me, but it's like,
okay, click.
Like the album that we're about to talk about, I'm like, this is a great album. I'm not really the kind of person who's just gonna put this on and like let it fly. You know what I mean? Like, pop is not where I live, but for what I want out of pop music, I think that Carly Rae Jepsen is great. Emotion to me was the album that like really unlocked her for me. That album I do play front to back sometimes. Like every song on that album is a banger. It is distinct. It is not like, oh, it sounds like she's doing, you know, Taylor Swift or anything. It's like, it sounds like something unique. And then you listen to her other albums and you can hear the hallmarks of like, oh, this is a Carly Rae Jepsen song. And all those songs are really good on their own. And the album flows really well. I just think that Emotion is like maybe a top 10 for like the 2010s. You know what I mean?
It's no skips. It's no skips. No skips. That's part of what makes Emotion so good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It feels like I wonder, though, you know, obviously she suffers a little bit from like kind of being like the secret diner that only a few people really like that they know about a little bit, which mm-hmm. is, but at the same time, if like I just shouted from the mountaintops, hey, come to this diner, come here, understand this and like their food, and everyone, there was like a line and stuff like that, there'd be a little bit of less of appeal. But also it seems like she doesn't want that either. She doesn't seem to like really
seems very happy with her station in life, which I think is like, using the restaurant analogy is like perfect, because I do think that, you know, you can describe so many different restaurants in so many different ways. There are those like hidden gems, and then there are the hidden gems that get blown up by TikTok, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the place got ruined because all these fucking influencers are in here trying to like make something cool. I like this really small mom and pop. And then there are like mega restaurants and celebrity chef restaurants. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there are different facets to that. And I think that Carly Rae Jepsen is one of those things where it's like, she's really happy being a little under the radar. It seems like she is, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't wish to take that away from her, but I do feel like there was a missed opportunity from her team to market her in the correct way, quote unquote, mm-hmm. correct way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's pop music made by a normie for indie hipster nerds. So like kind of is that's like accurate. The genre of
totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll always be happy to go to Carly Rae Jepsen Diner when, especially when the alternatives are the Katy Perry Bon Appetit Kitchen, where you have to watch her get stretched out before you eat Katy Perry, which is in another one.
Migos are there, like
even the homophobic one.
Oh boy. Well, yeah, the one.
Yeah, I've talked about my history on Carly for many, 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 many times. But as per always, you know, I heard about her from, you know, Call Me Maybe. I watched the music video where she's like thirsting after the guy mowing the lawn. That the surprise twist at the end is that he is gay and doesn't want to date her, which uh-oh. Was actually the surprise twist in my life with my girlfriend in college. So that was fun and cool. I felt like I could really identify with her. And because of that, I got into her. Not because of that. That was a joke. But I found I really, really got into Emotion. Emotion is far, far better than I think. Kiss, if you guys have ever heard Kiss, it's like
Kiss is still pretty good. Yeah,
it's pretty good, but it's like really poppy, like it's like sickeningly bubblegum, like
bubblegum pop.
Yes, and the flavor goes away after 2 seconds. That's part of the issue. And then of course she started releasing the side B's, you know, almost Emotion side B is a little like silly, you know, it has songs like Store that people love, but it's like you know, she has like a sense of humor to her that I think a lot of artists either lean into too much or not enough. And I've been along for the ride since. She has some hits, she has some misses. I get really worried every time I hear a not as good single from her, because I think she has the Taylor Swift disease of picking bad singles. But her end works are always really great, and usually I find I like the singles as they fit in, even as a listen to the album. So that's a little recap.
Yeah, I loved Call Me Maybe, like all that stuff. I knew those songs. Then I listened to Emotion one time because one of my weird hipster friends recommended it. It was like, it's secretly good. And like, this person was someone I like really admired, like their opinion on music and stuff. So I was like, I'll check it out. And it felt like all the normal pop that was like super bubblegummy. I was like, okay, whatever. And then like, I had my heart broken. Ooh. And then I listened to this entire album and I just immediately got it. I just like, I had to be in the right frame mm-hmm. of mind. And it really, because that album is all about just like the roller coaster of infatuation, the roller coaster of having a crush. The Taylor Swift album is pretty much the same thing too. Like the roller coaster of like a relationship and like the unrequited love and like the like, oh, maybe it's happening. And then like the floor goes out from under you a little bit. Yeah.
And Andrew, you're missing out on the biggest reason why you empathize with Emotion. Sia yeah. called you to console you after you got your heart broken.
No. After she was done consoling me, she was like, all right, I'm going to make this really problematic movie. Just like,
okay, love you, Andrew. Hope you continue to support me with full faith. Bye.
Those two reasons are why I like her. And then, like, I'm like Michael, I've been on the ride ever since. Like, although, like, this album we'll talk about a little bit is, I thought I was done with it. I thought I was just like, oh, this isn't really hitting where I live anymore. And I feel like,
do you mean this album endemic to itself? Or do you mean like this album made you think I'm done with Carly Rae Jepsen?
I think done with Carly Rae Jepsen. I was like, we might not cover this. Like, I was like, the first listen through, I was like, I don't think we're going to cover this. I'm not that interested in talk. There's not really anything to talk about. And then we were talking about doing this episode, I was like going through a really depressive time. And like, this was the last thing I wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. But then as I like kind of evened out, I'm like, okay, I was wrong. This is really great. In fact, this may be top tier Carly. This may be like up there next to Emotion, but it's a different type of, just like I had to be in the right mood for Emotion with like having heartbreak and stuff. I had to be in a more stable, happy, kind of present, calm place to enjoy this album. So yeah,
I think it's like what Mike says. It's like you're not always reaching for the record to put it on, right? Like, but when you are, it hits.
Yeah. I forget some of the songs on The Loneliest Time, but when I'm like, I'm going to check this out, I'm going to listen to this again, I always like it. I always think this is good.
It's yeah. If someone puts it on, they're always happy. I'll say every time I've ever put a Carly Rae Jepsen song that's not Call Me Maybe or whatever onto a playlist, like, people have always gone, this is good, who is this? And then you get the to surprise and delight them with like, surprise, it's Carly Rae Jepsen. You know what I mean? Because it, if you take it out of context, if you just play it for someone, they're going to think it's good. I think with a lot of these tracks, especially on these tracks, it's like, if you replace the vocals with like fucking Dua Lipa or whatever, and you're like, here's a new Dua Lipa single, people are like, this rocks. You know what I mean? Because she has that ability
to
write.
It would be insane if Dua Lipa did any of these songs. It would be a smash.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's like, I think that if Carly Rae Jepsen wanted to, she could be the best ghostwriter in the world, but she also has the like charisma and presence to be her own pop star. And that much talent in one person is why I feel like robbed on her behalf that she is not a Beyonce level star. But also,
let's not go nutto like here. But I agree. With general.
Kylie Rae Jepsen should be more famous than Beyonce.
The Emotious Sans tour. There, I don't know. Mike, do you approve of me? Do you think I'm funny?
Yeah, come on.
You know, when you're much like Carly Rae Jepsen, when you're cranking out this much material, they're not all going to be hits.
All right.
Carly Rae Jepsen does have to put out a new album once a week on Thursdays. So yeah, that's pretty tough.
I will say, I think that it's like, this is like another level of artistry that I appreciate, is that she generates so much material and is generous with it. Like the fact that she always puts out a full B-sides album, like some artists, if they do B-sides, it'll be like an EP or a single, you know. Some artists never release their B-sides. I think Prince famously has like a vault of like thousands of songs that he's never released that just like kind of sit there, you know what I mean? And like, I think the fact that she's so generous with her artistic process is really fascinating for other artists of any medium, just to be like, here's someone work like this album. The bad ones sound like B-sides, you know what I mean? They sound like kind of half thought through, not really polished, but the fact she's still like, I'm proud of these here, you can listen to this. I'm like, I love that about her just as an artist.
So yeah, let's talk about themes of this record. Let's talk about The Loveliest Time. Mike, what do you feel this album is about as a macro sense?
In that it is B-sides to The Loneliest Time, I still think that a lot of these songs deal with loneliness. You know, there's a lot of songs about yearning, about like about regret, you know, about the darker side of relationships, about like if we're talking about like the haves and the have-nots, this is more of like a have-nots sort of album, you know what I mean? It feels very closely tied to the Loneliest Time for me. And The Loneliest Time is like very aptly named for me.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're right. Some of these songs would work on under the title The Loneliest Time. And some of the Loneliest Time songs would work under the context of The Loveliest Time. It's kind of like this evening out, like the, I was talking about in the Loneliest Time episode with Aaron Mallory Long, where it goes from like a roller coaster to like a carousel where it's a little more evened out. It's not that scary anymore. Roller coasters have these highs and lows, and it's like really scary and like exhilarating, but also like frightening and difficult. So like loneliness and loveliness are kind of like intertwined in this one feeling. It's never horrible. She's not like ever super, super depressed, but she's like, it's not all that. That it doesn't, nothing really like punches you, like cut to the feeling at, really on this album either.
Yeah. Yeah. It never reaches the high highs, but at the same time, I think that Carly Rae Jepsen as an artist usually doesn't do those like super depressing in the way, like last time I was here, I was for Japanese Breakfast. And like a lot of those sort of like sad girl songs are like, this song is so fucking sad. And nothing Carly Rae Jepsen ever puts out is ever crushingly sad. You know, even when she's sad, she's like, well, here's how I'm going to work through it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this album feels like you're at a party and you're at like a house party, your friend's house party. And the music's bumping and stuff. All your friends are there. You spot your crush from across the way. She's like drinking a pilsner. And then like a friend like hands you a pill and says like, all right, it's party time. And you take the pill. But instead of X or Molly, it's a mood stabilizer. And you're just like able to like, like go through the party. Like, oh, so there's like a beat going on, but you're just like kind of level.
Was this the pills and pilsner party I wasn't invited to?
So yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's like super like just like, yeah, it does feel like you're on Lexapro and you're just kind of like, you are having relations. You are like feeling sad and anxious sometimes, but it's all right. It's fine at the same time. So what about you, Michael? What do you think this album's about?
I think her B-sides are much less cohesive than her A-sides. I think her B-sides are kind of more like, here's some songs, like more than like any other artist. Really, I hope that's not too reductive of me
to say,
but it does feel like a lot more here's some songs than anything else. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is by nature. And I think that, you know, we're doing our best to ascribe some sort of like coherence to it, but that's not always what it is. This is my thing about like when people criticize SNL, like, you know, oh, it's bad this year, like it hasn't been good since whatever year since this person was on the show. And it's like, by nature, the show is an anthology, right? Like you're getting a handful of sketches every night. They're not all gonna hit.
And you have a host who's like has a certain set of skills and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And the cast changes every year. It's like there is no such thing as like, to me, there's no such thing as the good years of SNL or the bad years of SNL, or it's bad now or it's good now. It's just like every single week it is a new thing and you should take it as like a new thing. And usually it's fine. You know, some of them you're not going to like, some of them you are going to like. And that, to me, that's what B-sides are, is like, you can release an album of B-sides and you can try and be like, this is a bad collection of B-sides or this is a good collection of B-sides. But by nature, they are a collection of songs that did not make the cut. Right. And so some of them will be good, some of them will be bad, and that's okay.
I am also, though, I do feel like her B-sides are extremely good. Like, she's one of maybe the only artists I ever want to hear the B-sides of. I think, because I think the level, it's like between nines and eights, and she's like picking some nines. And I feel like she picks some eights that I kind of think could be replaced by nines from this, you know, if we're like swapping them out. But maybe those don't fit thematically, so that might just be why. I do think this album is a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more joyful than The Loneliest Time. Not that The Loneliest Time is not joyful, but I think this has like a I'm ready to embrace life with this like bear hug, right? Like, I'm ready to tackle it down, whereas Loneliest Time is a little bit more thoughtful.
There's some like tiredness of Loneliest Time, like, you know, the I'm probably gonna hurt your feelings. That song is like kind of like
that song.
Do you say you hate like, that song?
Yeah, it's just like I'm probably gonna harvest your organs. I like the rest of the song. I just don't like the
I'm laughing so hard.
it's a little like quirky core. You know?
I think
Carly should write for SNL. Like, that's really funny. Like, you
know? Carly wrote the Shrek sketch, the Bad Bunny Shrek sketch, actually.
I love that song. I think I'll give you that maybe it is like 15 years too late. I think if that song were to come out in like, 2007 and, you know, like it was like 303 doing that. You know what I mean? It would have been like a lot of fun. And yeah, now it's a little passe, but it's still a good song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think take out the boy voices.
Man, get out!
I hate when boys
there.
Sing. Boys should not sing.
La la la. Well, how's that, Michael?
Boys should not sing.
Okay, there we go.
That is my long-held belief on the podcast that I will stand by. Boys should not sing.
Like, there's this BoJack Horseman episode where
there's nobody talks and it's underwater.
Yeah, no, not that one. But like, that one's good, though. But like, there's this BoJack episode. I don't remember who said it, but like one of the characters says, like, when you become famous, you kind of freeze at that age. And like, it's also like when you get married, when you get something, some sort of life event that's so big that you kind of like stagnate at that age in a way. Where Carly got famous, like, not young, but like as a young adult and stuff. And then so now she's like pushing 40 and she's still like this ageless sprite kind of figure. Like, she's still like talking about like sleeping with guys and like having one night stands and like infatuation in a similar way she was talking about it in her mid to early 20s. In the previous review of this, Loneliest Time album, I compared it to Drake, where Drake is pushing 40 and he calls himself a certified lover boy and a lesbian and makes songs about how Rihanna's a bitch. And, you know, it seems in his head, it probably seems really cool, but it's like really sad and pathetic. But with Carly, it's like she is pushing 40. She is doing the same things as a young woman in a lot of ways. She probably can't sustain a long-term relationship because of her lifestyle so strange and different from a lot of people. But it's really, there's this wide-eyed earnestness that's like really awe-inspiring more than sad, of just like, hey, like, this is just like, just acceptance of her current situation. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Like, I get to fall in love with this guy and maybe he'll break my heart, but it's okay. It genuinely is okay. And like, that's a more positive way to approach that. And just like not viewing a long-term relationship with someone for 8 years as the nexus point of happiness, that you, if you get this, then you are allowed to call yourself happy. It's like, just like living your life and accepting what comes. That's like the way to be a happy person. So I think she's doing that.
I just want to say, I didn't know how old she was and I Googled and she's 37, which is one, not pushing 40, and two, not that old. Like,
it's not that old.
Listening to this narrative that you're spinning about, like, I think that you're, you're functioning under the traditional view of like, well, by 40, you should be settled. And like everything you just said was like, she's acting like she's in her 20s. And to me, 37 is still kind of in that phase of life where it's like, she's allowed to date around. You know what I mean? Like 37 isn't
exactly
that old.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might be there. There might be a little bit of me that's still like grew up with that perspective a little bit. And like 40 was so far from me at the time. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I'll have my little cane and like my little hut and stuff like that. My little cottage with like the smoke billowing out.
Oh,
the
yeah. No, when
stuff.
You're a kid, someone who's like 20 is like the oldest person on earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want anyone who's listening to this hearing you rail against like this,
really
this woman
you,
who's
awesome.
37, aka pushing 40, is really stretching with these songs about being
she's
single. I'm like,
40 as
listen,
like
if you're 38 and you're
40.
Listening to this and you're single, that's fine. You're okay. You're doing
that's
fine.
What I'm
don't listen to
we're
Andrew.
Agreeing with each other. We're agreeing with each other.
So are you guys not going to Carly Rae Jepsen's retirement home bunko party this weekend?
But my last point is just like the growth she shows from emotion to here is she found the keys to happiness. It's like she's holding the keys to happiness in her hand. And that includes acceptance of her situation. Like, I'll be satisfied with a couple more years of this. Like, that's a very like accepting line. Like, it doesn't have to be a forever thing for it to be worth it. Gratitude of just these experiences, presence. She's very present. Interpersonal relationships, positive reframings of her experience, and then also white privilege. She has a little bit, she gets to enjoy the fruits of that a little bit. Like, she doesn't have to worry about money. She doesn't have to, like, you know, tweet about like Palestine or anything like that. Or like, she doesn't have to do it. She doesn't have to if she doesn't want to. Like, it's like she's
like Carly Rae Jepsen is the whitest girl on earth, also. She won the award for that last year.
Yeah. Like, her face is used to like white balance cameras. But anyways, any other themes, any other things we want to talk about here?
I did want to mention, you brought up Drake earlier. Did you know Drake has never had a song, never had like any B-sides because he just releases every song he's ever
written?
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, well, on that note, let's
sorry, I had that joke and I waited 20 minutes to say it.
Well, on that note, let's take a break. Click. And we're back here to talk about Carly Rae Jepsen's The Loveliest Time. So let's go through highlight songs first. Mike, what is a highlight song that you enjoyed?
I wrote down four. I love Shy Boy. I love Collage. I love Psychedelic Switch. I love Put It to Rest.
Oh, Put It to Rest. Okay.
That's yeah.
No, Put It to Rest is on my list too. Although one of those is not on my list. It's on my hit list. So
yeah, let's talk about Put It to Rest first. Like, that's my low light. That's my one skip of the album.
Really? I think it's so beautiful. It's way more beautiful than I'd expect from her, I feel like. I don't know. It's so touching.
I put that, I mean, you know, if we're going track by track, I can talk about this later, but I put that it reminded me of Sleigh Bells, who to me is another underrated artist for the same reason. I think that a lot of people within a certain community remember Sleigh Bells for, you know, like
Santa.
Crown on the Ground and like Santa, you know, Crown on the Ground and like commercials that were on in 2012. You know what I mean? But they put out after that first album, they put out like three or four more albums that to me are so, so good, but they don't really sound like treats. And so a lot of people like just kind of were like, I'm done with this. But so many of those songs are so good and it sounds like a Sleigh Bell song. And I was like, I love it. It also sounds like St. Vincent to me. It's just like a little more beautiful and a little more like musically complicated than you would expect just like a straightforward pop B-side to be. And I loved it.
Agree.
Yeah. I skip it because I just like want to get to Stadium Love so bad. I just think that song is so fun, you know?
I think Put It to Rest should be the last song on the album.
Yes,
I agree. I agree with that.
Putting the album to rest, you know?
Put the album to rest. And that way I don't have to hear the unfinished songs that are Stadium Love and Weekend Love.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah. Stadium Love, Weekend Love aren't my highlights, but I could talk about them really quickly. It's just like, it's like the most distilled version of the album. It's like Stadium Love is this big, grand, explosive, like happy song. And then Weekend Love is like, hey, it's okay if I never hear back from you. It's fine. You know, I'm happy either way. It's like, and like, she used to be so crushed by that. Like I too, like get crushed when I like you know, get ghosted or like have anything experiences like that. It's very demoralizing. But these days I'm getting a little more, all right, yeah, it's okay. It's like, as long as I'm having a good time and all that stuff, it's, I'm pretty happy. So, yeah.
I think that you're making an argument for those two songs being companion pieces, which is fine, but I don't think they should be the album closing companion pieces. I think if you put those two tracks in the middle or even up top, I'd be like, sure. Cause they are okay songs, you know, they're kind of big and, you know, like shallow in a way that I want pop music to be, but I put it to rest to me as like, it's surprisingly deep and complicated and still fun to listen to in a way where I'm like, yeah, that should absolutely be the album closer.
I would never do this, but if I were to make a list of every Carly Rae Jepsen song, like a ranking of every Carly Rae Jepsen song, both of these songs are in the bottom 25% to me.
Weekend Love, Stadium Love?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I disagree completely, because first of all, she has so many great songs. I wouldn't put them in the top 10 either.
Right.
But I don't know about bottom like 25. Like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
They are good. This is tough to do with Carly Rae Jepsen, because again, I will go ahead and say all 100% of her catalog is above like a 7. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she doesn't,
yeah.
None of these songs are bad. It's just that if we're comparing them to each other, it's like, yeah, I would say bottom 25%. Sure.
It is like SNL, where like the bad sketches don't matter that much because you don't have to watch them again. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you could like go to YouTube and pick out the ones you like, you know, like so. Michael, what's a highlight for you?
Yeah. Highlight for me. I wanted to hit on. Let me make sure I'm talking about After Last Night. I love the instrumentation of After Last Night, the way it like the
Mario Kart
arpeggio up into it. Yeah. I think that is like the funness that I want out of Carly Rae Jepsen. And it's like she does that thing where she's like, and then you said, hey, before we make a big mistake, you know, it's like she loves to have the other person talk to her in the song. And I just think it's really cute. And it's a really fun song. It's exactly what I want from her.
Yeah, it feels like oxytocin, like seeping into your brain a little bit. It's just like it is like a mood booster sort of like. And I love it in terms of the bridge where she's like in bed with this person and she's like really like the moon shining brighter and stuff. And like, it's this really like when you're happy and when you have these rose tinted glasses, like colors are a little more vibrant, like your regular life is just a little bit better. Like, and it's like, I think that's a really beautiful imagery. And it's also like really intimate. Like this album is very intimate. It feels like a lot of this album is like, whispering sweet nothings into your partner's ear a little bit. It's like very romantic. It's there are a lot of romantic lines on this album that I really
I like too. You calling it a Mario Kart introduction, because it's yeah. Totally Mario Kart.
It's like Rainbow Road, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, I really like that. I wish I'd said it. Edit me saying that instead. I'm gonna AI voice myself into the podcast saying that instead.
I like Psychedelic Switch, like to give of one course. Of Michael's, like, of course, like, I
what do you mean of course?
Yeah,
what do you mean fair. Not of course? Didn't you say you like Psychedelic Switch, Mike? Wasn't that
yeah.
Your list?
No, yeah, it's absolutely, it's one of my highlights.
That's an undeniable hit. Why are you fighting?
Why are we arguing?
Are you yelling?
I'm here to sow division on this podcast.
it works at, like I was talking about, it works in a club. Like they played this at the Jesse Ware show, like at his DJ set, like everyone went nuts. All the
niche legends supporting niche legends.
Yep. Yeah, like everyone like went nutso and that for that song. But it also works like if you're just like in your kitchen and you want to like dance in your underwear or something like that. If it's a very like intimate song in that way. Like it's like small and big at the same time, which is really fun. And like I already talked about the because baby I'd be satisfied forever with a couple of years of this. Like, it's okay, it's temporary, I'm happy that it's happening, and when it's over I'll be grateful that it happened. And the Psychedelic Switch isn't about drugs, it's about just the reframing in your mind so that you can enjoy paradise. Like, you could go to Hawaii or like some like vacation spot and be unhappy the entire time, you know, if you're thinking about work, you're thinking about all this stuff you have to do, or like you're arguing with your girlfriend or something like that. But if you just like flip a switch in your mind to just enjoy this experience, then it's like you can be happy, you know.
Yeah, for me, it's less about, I think I've talked about this last time I was on the show. I am not really a lyrics person. So when I I'm an idiot. So when I do my little homework for this podcast, it's always like I listen to music and that's pretty much where all my feelings are. And then I go back and I read the lyrics and then that's like a separate part of my brain. So you just tackle the lyrics part of this song. But for me, the music on this song is like, it's another example of like, I think this could be a ghostwritten song. Like,
yeah,
pop star, it'd be a hit.
Daft Punk. It sounds like a Daft Punk song to me. If you ripped out these vocals, put a vocoder on it to sound like the Daft Punk guy, and then put it back out there and told people it's a Daft Punk song, they would believe you.
Also, like, you know, I'm a lyrics guy myself, but honestly, the lyrics kind of don't matter, really. It really doesn't matter that much. It's like, they're like, I think, first of all, the way she writes these songs, like, she talks about the process of like having 100 songs. But what I think it really is she has like 100 ideas and then she stitches them together into like one song. Like, so like the Shy Boy song where she talks about like you got the Maya's touch and then like something like sugar. Like, those are two different metaphors and you just like put them together in this collage to like make a song. Like, but like, I also love at the psychedelic switch, like the wordless psychedelic sausage. Like, I love that bit. Like, that's the little breakdown at the end is awesome. So it really, you know, you don't need the words, you know, at the same time.
No, that is an amazing. It was such a delightful surprise listening through the album too. For the first time, I felt like when I heard psychedelic switch, I was like, you know, that gif of Wendy Williams putting her hand over her ear and dancing to the crowd. That was me listening to it.
Oh, you say gif. Anyways.
I've always said gif. I will always say gif, as intended by the creator of gifs.
Team
gif. It's not the graphic image interface or whatever. It's graphic.
Okay, gif. GIF creates cognitive dissonance in your mind. It's as though you have an unfinished word that you've just left floating in the air.
GIF is already taken by a peanut butter brand. Get a new pronunciation. It's GIF.
Mike, what's another highlight that we haven't talked about from your little list of highlights?
I love collage. To me, I think the songs that stand out to me are the ones where I'm like, I can see this being popular because that's what I love about her. I'm like, you are just as good as the other artists. And collage is a Silk Sonic song through and through. It even starts with that like drum intro where you're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then it's like this like sexy sort of like still kind of, it's actually like a deeper song. Like, Silk Sonic songs to me are at the end of the spectrum where lyrically it is just like a man talking, you know what I mean? Like, there are no metaphors. There's
what's
no imagery.
Up, baby?
Yeah, exactly. and so this lyrically, it goes a little bit deeper. You know, there's a little bit of artistry and poetry going into these lyrics, but mostly musically, it's just like this sultry, sexy drum forward song where I'm like, if Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak put this fucking song out, it would be a hit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is kind of like rap singing like the way those guys do a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Da 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 da. And she fills it with the lyrics that are so wonderful, too. Yeah, Michael, what's one for you that you like? Another one.
We've kind of been all over the place. I like Kamikaze a lot. I think that has the strong metaphor that she loves to use, even maybe to reckless abandon in a kamikaze way, if you will. I think she...
Oppenheimer here over there.
truly. Well, during the strike, she was just sitting at home eating cheese. And... I think it's like she has this idea of like love, especially for her at her, you know, shriveled old hag age of 37.
That's not what I mean.
That, you know, love is like this reckless thing. And I think Kamikaze is very much like, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to crash into your house. It's not going to be good for either of us. I'm still going to do it, though. And you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And I like that about this song. I'm also not a lyrics guy. So the fact that it's like fun at the same time, it charges me up with that instrumentation of the bass, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a good song. And then she executes perfectly.
What I wrote lyrically for Kamikaze is, I would have loved this song in college. Like, she taps into so many feelings in so many of her songs where it is universal in such a, she's not dealing with like these grand things of like love or philosophy. It's just like, you know, that feeling when you like someone so much that you want to do this thing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kamikaze is such like a, like, I'm going to crash into you. I like you so much. And I'm like, I love that feeling. And I love how like simple these lyrics are to serve that purpose. You're just trying to make me feel that same thing. And I'm like, man, when I was in college, I would have eaten this song up. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm going to make bad choices.
Yeah.
Just to get to like this end result, even though it's all going to fall apart, the end result. Yeah.
And now that Mike has a 401k, he can't make reckless decisions anymore.
You got to be wiser with your decisions. Yeah.
I love Kamikaze. I love it as a companion to After Last Night, too, because she's in Kamikaze. She's like, you know, I'm going to make this bad decision, even though it's bad. And then After Last Night, it turns out, hey, it wasn't that bad. Like, nothing that bad happened. It was actually really nice. It was actually really positive at the end of the day. And like, she uses moonlight several times as like a metaphor. And what I think it is in this album, it's like this representation of like lust and attraction and infatuation. She also uses the moon a few times in The Loveliest Time. Like in the live show, she has a big old moon with a face on it and stuff, like the Lumiere Brothers thing. But I think like she like is wrestling with that a little bit. Just like, I know, my body's telling me that I want to go to this person, but I know in my brain that's not that good, but I'm going to act on it anyways. And I did. And hey, I'm alive. I'm happy. We had sex. It was pretty cool. Sex is pretty cool, in my opinion.
Hey, man. Hey, my guy. That was pretty cool.
So, yeah, like that's pretty awesome. Any other highlights? Let's go through lowlights. Any lowlights of this album?
Again, with the caveat that even the lowlights are still pretty good. The ones that I wrote are Anything to Be With You and Airplane. I'm actually surprised she opened with Anything to Be With You, because to me, I'm like, this would not get me to listen to the rest of the album. You know what I mean?
I think it's unpleasant to the ear. Is the main issue with that one.
But like, yeah, it has the repetitiveness of like, I'm just going to the store, but without the like tongue in cheek camp factor of I'm just going to the store. And it lyrically is, I wrote, it's the pick me girl anthem. It's just a little too desperate, where I'm just like, this isn't fun for anyone. I don't like this.
Yeah. Like I was talking to Stephanie about this album, and she was like, she's going to ruin her voice with like the way she like uses her like the.
No, that's true.
I think something to point out is just like the production for all these songs, even if the song itself isn't that good, is always so layered and intricate and really wonderful. It is like very Tame Impala-y, and kind of all the songs, even though it is like a collection of songs, here's some songs. They all kind of flow into each other really nicely. It's not like, there's nothing that discordant. Like, there's like, oh, I would not put that there, you know, like with this album, really. But yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have opened with Anything to Be With You.
No,
I don't know. Like, I was going to say, like, would Kamikaze work as the opener? But I feel like that's too much too soon. But I don't know.
You want to put a bad song before it just in case? Is that the goal?
No,
I also agree about Airplanes, though. Airplanes is like it's like a downswing in between two great songs. And so it's also Carly Rae Jepsen songs largely thrive in the like 3 minute area, I feel. And not that Airplanes is that much longer. It just feels really long.
Yeah.
You know,
for Airplanes, what I wrote was, what's the pop equivalent of freestyling and rap? Because that's what this feels like. It feels like you had an idea and you're kind of working it out. Like, even the music is like, that synth is not really playing chords, you know what I mean? It's kind of just playing sounds, and vocally she's doing that like modulation thing where you go, oh, which means you're not committing to whatever note you're singing, you know. It's like the whole thing just has this air of like, yeah, we're having fun in the studio, but it's not a song, you know.
It's I do like the I would fly aeroplanes in ocean for your touch. That's very romantic. Some of the real, like, again, it's full of romantic lines. Like the shadow has really romantic lines. Like, I want to tell you something hard to say. I think you might already know. I think about you almost every day. There's not a place that you don't go. Like, that's really romantic, really sweet. Like, it's very, like, it's really wonderful. Any other stray observations? Songs we haven't talked about, Shy Boy. Like, that's another one we haven't talked about.
Shy Boy was on my highlights. It's a bop. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the, It's such a simple scenario to envision, you know, like add me to the list, Carly. I'll go downtown. That's an amazing. I love a simple.
You're willing to sleep with a shriveled old. Come on. Sorry. Not funny for me to do. I hit the same beat. Rule of threes. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I've been the shy boy in the past. So this is really fun. I think like she does a great job with this album. But, like, a lot of this album is about like tunnel vision, about like one particular guy, just like one person you're fixated on, you really want to be with. There's a song about, she says, like, I'm thinking about you and me together, like when we're alone, when I'm alone, I'm thinking about just you and me. And then Shy Boy is like fixating on this one like quiet guy that you're attracted to in this party.
Oh, that's on Come Over, right? What you're talking about?
That
really sticks in my mind because I hate it. She goes, it goes, whatever you're scheming, I'm already dreaming. Come over. And don't keep me waiting. Got nothing on my mind but the two of us. And I hate that she does that because it ends this rhyming scheme that she keeps doing, which could be ended really perfectly with nothing on my mind but the two of us date. And like, that's what I think it is in my head every time I'm about to listen to it.
Okay,
but she doesn't finish it like that. It's like saying, wrong one is that you guys do. It's like saying GIF where it doesn't sound right to me, and I want to fix it really bad.
Hey, to me and Michael, it sounds great.
I've never in my life thought I could fix this lyric. I've never listened to a professional musician and been like, you're doing your job wrong. Here's what you should.
Well, I mean, you guys hear my singing voice. I was meant for the stage.
voicing back except me. I'm good.
No voice except me, Michael Limitado, future star of the musicale.
Like, we're going to do like that Doughboys bit where like Mike Mitchell's like, you know, next year I'm going to be on the top 50 charts. It's like the music charts. And then they extended it to like a lifetime thing. Like, okay, we'll give
eventually
you the money.
You can get a top. I love the Doughboys. It is so fucking funny. What a good job.
You should do a Doughboys. Get on there.
Okay. I'll call him up.
Yeah. Why don't you call Kim up?
Come Over has this I'm sorry like if I'm like monopolizing the conversation, but like Come Over has this like that production thing. It's so catchy. It's so it is the siren call of lust. It's like so it's really, really potent and powerful.
Yeah, Come Over had the disco vibes of like if you could teleport this back to ABBA, they would be like, oh yeah, we'll do this song, you know, or like insofar as Dua Lipa's last album was like a disco album, I think that again, if you replace the vocals with Dua Lipa vocals and said
she
like, here's
it.
A
yeah,
Dua
she
Lipa
could certainly
song,
do this. Yeah.
It would work. You know, it's a well-crafted song. I like the music. I like the lyrics. It's fun. It like lyrically, it's again, it's like one of those feelings that we can all relate to where it's just that innocent anticipation of like, I just can't wait for you to be here. It's like, we've all felt that. And it's not more complicated than it needs to be. It's just like, you know that feeling? And I go, yeah, I do know that feeling. And it's perfect.
Mm. Not me with my chastity belt. Anyways, any other anticipation?
Yeah.
Several locks. I got it on. Any other observations about this album besides what I just said?
I don't have anything else. I feel like I must say, I feel like she writes her a little adult bedtime stories, like welcome back to I Saw a Tweet, my famous segment I Saw a Tweet, which is I love her into little bedtime stories. It was a tweet of her talking about how she writes songs. And I fully think that's what she does. She encapsulates those emotions that are hard to express because they come from this like very pure seeming place, you know, especially from her. And I think this album carries on the well-trod, but not in a bad way, tradition that she has.
Oh, I was just going to say that I feel like this is how I like to watch movies. Just like, what am I supposed to be feeling? Like, to me, that is the ultimate thing about movies, is just like, you're supposed to make the audience feel something. And I think that Carly Rae Jepsen, more so than a lot of songwriters, is an expert being like, you know that feeling when, and then just making you feel that feeling for 3 minutes. And I love that she's so effective. She's like a sniper at it. You know what I mean? She can pick these hyper-specific moments that do have their own distinct feeling and point it out to you. And I love that about her.
Oh. Yeah, let's go through Final Thoughts and Rings. Then the way this works is we rate this 7 out of 10 with a fun metric at the end. You two all kind of already said like some final thoughts, but like Michael, let's turn to you first. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I like I was just saying, I feel like it perfectly encapsulates kind of her oeuvre. It's very sweet. It's very emotionally mature while being emotionally immature at the same time. It's this perfect mix of like, I'm willing to let life lead me a little bit, kind of going with the flow a little bit more than I'm ever really able to. Which is part of what I like about her. I find her so charming. And like you said, Andrew, she does have this like nymph-like quality, right? Where it's like she seems like someone magical that can just kind of come into your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think her song, her music encapsulates that. I think I will give this 8 satisfied years out of 10.
Oh, that's fantastic. What about you, Mike? Where are you rating this?
I'm going to give it the exact same score. I'm going to say this is 8 swords out of 10.
Give her a sword.
Yeah, that well, OK. So if you're not steeped in Carly Rae Jepsen lore, if and you're listening to this podcast, I don't know what that crossover is. There was like a movement for a while that was just like, give Carly Rae Jepsen a sword. And then fans start bringing in it's you. If you're watching the video of this, you can see Michael's background. People would bring inflatable swords to the show. And she sort of just like, yes, anded the movement and like started like holding up swords and people handed them to her. And it's just like that to me encapsulates her attitude as an artist of just like, yeah, let's have fun with it. Why am I, you know, I mean, she's not trying to put on a show. It's just like, the fans want me to hold a sword. I'm going to hold a sword. Let's, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm making pop music here. Why isn't it fun? And so
when I saw her in Dallas, she got 5 swords over the course of the whole show. And one of the swords was like a real, like a katana, like a real katana. And she's like, how'd you get this in here?
But yeah, she's like, fuck it. And she like, someone starts throwing like fruit and like, she slices it.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a fun album that, you know, it sounds like a Carly Rae Jepsen album, which is to say it could be anyone's, but it also is good and distinct in its own right. It is a B-sides album, so they're not all monster smash hits. It's no Emotion, but it is still pretty fucking good. So I'm going to say 8 swords out of 10.
I'm going to give it 8.5 psychedelic sausage jizz out of 10. 8.5 psychedelic sausages. I think it's great. That was all wrong. I think this album is really great. I'm really happy I got to be proven wrong by one of my top 10 artists. Like, it's like, yeah, I thought this was an album like, she finally fucked up. She finally made an album that's not very good to me.
It sounds like you were praying on her downfall the way you're praising that a little bit.
I'm disappointed. But like, as I listened to it and as like my, it's just like things got a little better, like it rose up for me and I was able to appreciate what it was doing and adjust my expectations. And it's phenomenal. It's like it works as a piece, but also individual songs are great. It's like I was talking about, it's like this really, there are a lot of keys to happiness to it, of like how to be a happy person in this world that's like gives you every reason to be unhappy. So yeah, I think that's, it's also just like, yeah, so it's like, it's inspiring to see growth like that where I thought there was none. So I'm going to give it 8.5 psychedelic sausages. So, yeah. All right.
I don't want to hear you say psychedelic sausage again. I feel like.
Psychedelic sausage? Is that Dr. Seuss's penis?
All right, time to end the podcast.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, like that was our episode on Carly Rae Jepsen's The Loveliest Time. I mean, like, Mike, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you. Like, this is so cool that you came back so quickly too. Yeah, come back anytime, talk about whatever you want. What would you like to apply? What's out there for you?
Well, now that the strike is over, I can say I was in a movie this summer called Shortcomings. It was Randall Park's directorial debut, and
whoa,
it is now on Blu-ray. So you can buy it wherever you buy your hard discs.
Wow.
Wait, is that not available for streaming, or are you just particularly plugging Blu-rays?
I don't know the answer to that question, which is why I said Blu-ray.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out Orange is the New Black on Netflix.com. Check out
Wait, what's that?
Orange is the New Black.
You said one. Netflix.com?
Yeah.
Is that the place that sends DVDs and Blu-rays? Mike's favorite medium?
Yeah, check out like Mr. May on freevee.com maybe, if or wait, like pay for it and give him $5
yeah,
every time you watch an episode of that show.
Yeah,
so he gets money. You can follow the show at I've been meaning to list IBMTLTT on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow Michael at Lemon Taco on Instagram. You can follow me at Andrew Ambrose Lee on Instagram. Stenley at Snap is Sten on Instagram. Harper at Harping About on Instagram. And Mike, thank you so much. This is genuinely so wonderful. What would you like to play us out with?
I'm going to play us out on fellow underrated artist Sleigh Bells. There's a song called I Know Not to Count on You that really reminded me of Put It to Rest. So if you like Carly Rae Jepsen, you like this album, you like Put It to Rest, here is I Know Not to Count on You by Sleigh Bells.
I'm going to check out Sleigh Bells. I'm excited. Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good day. Click.